Hello, lovers and friends, and welcome back to the Romantically Lit podcast featuring your girl, Hannah and Odilia. And today we have such exciting news. We're going to be interviewing the lovely author of Curvy Girl Summer, Danielle Allen. So she's here with us. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Perfect. And yeah, I guess we can just dive right into it. Let's get into the juicy stuff.
Yes.
I don't know if, Dylan, you want to start off
with some questions. I guess I'll start. My question actually has more of like, maybe this is something I miss, but we kept debating it on the podcast. Did you tell us a city this was that we were in?
It is Richland. It is a fictional city, Richland.
Okay. All right. And for some reason, it felt like D.C. I convinced myself that it was in D.C.
It's not from D.C. It's an hour from D.C.
Okay, maybe that's why when I read it, I was like, no, this is D.C. But then I couldn't remember Richmond for the life of me. But it just gave that vibe. I've been to D.C., but I feel like every time I hear people talk about D.C. and the dating scene, it felt like what Aaliyah was experiencing. Dating is horrible everywhere, but like, it just gave D.C. And I was like, this is D.C. for sure.
That makes me laugh. I love it.
Yeah. But that was my first question. But I guess to continue, what inspired you to write this book in particular?
So at the time that I pitched it, I was like, I told them I wanted it to be three fat, black, natural haired women dating. The group chats from me and my friends from when we were in those dating streets was live, okay? It was a lot happening. So a lot of those stories and mishaps came from actual events and interactions with real people. So I don't feel like there, to my knowledge, I hadn't seen in traditional spaces, traditional media, whether that be books, TV, movies, where a fat black woman dating is really in the forefront, and you're seeing all of the highs and the lows. But like when me and my friends were out being fat black women dating, it isn't how it is portrayed in the peripheral of some of these shows, where like she can't get a man, nobody's checking for her, yada yada yada, but that has never been the case. And so I wanted to showcase these three very different women who have very different approaches to dating and very different experiences as they navigate this world. And I also wanted people who can relate to Aaliyah's experience to understand that it's not, there's some people who like are like, oh, I brought this on myself. Like, this man is acting this way. Like, there's something I did. Sometimes people are gonna people, and it's not your fault. It's not on you. It's not your responsibility to take on because someone else didn't respect you, your time, your energy, disrespecting your body. Like, that's not on you. And I wanted people to that and see that and feel that it's not us living in a bigger body does not give anyone the right to disrespect, does not give anyone the right to demean, does not give anyone the a reason to treat you that way in the dating space.
Mm-hmm.
But it happens anyway. And so I wanted people to feel like, oh, so this is, because there's been a lot of people who are not as big as Aaliyah, who are not black at all, who don't have natural hair, like who related to these stories of like having some. Well, this one woman said that like women, she dates women, and women were also acting like this in the streets too. So it's not safe for her. So like, but like having people like really just say and assume things about you because you're in a bigger body. And then there are people who are smaller who never had even thought that that was something that was being experienced and was able to then understand and see, like, oh wait, that's a problem. So that was why I wanted to put that story out there, because I wanted people to see that, like, yes, we do get played. Sometimes it's like these dudes know how to act and sometimes they don't, but like none of the times is it our fault that.
Yeah.
You also, in answering, you answered like three of our questions at once.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But I guess to expand on it, because the other two questions was, were any of your dating experiences similar to what Aaliyah was going through? And then I guess also expand on the idea of how important it is to, because like you said, a lot of plus size characters that are on television or have been on television and film, it's oftentimes like, the way I see it is like they come out almost like they don't know that they're a baddie. Like they're like, oh man, like, you know, like I think like Ugly Betty, even though she technically was, she was 2000s fat.
I but know. Like,
you know, but like Ugly Betty was never ugly to begin with. So, you know, then they'll always have that moment where they like dress them up and you're like, wow, you're not this frumpy little thing. So like, how important was it for you to like have Aaliyah start out like she, every step of the way, no matter what those men said to her, she was like, no, I know I'm fine. Like, I know I'm fine. And that's why you're threatened. Like, and this is just what it is. You know,
it was so important because there are so many of us who navigate the world being secure in who we are. And I think that a lot of times, well, it's financially beneficial to put people in a mindset of, oh, fat is bad, because then they can capitalize on the weight loss product and like having us buying to achieve what society, like the thinness mindset and like that aesthetic. And so if you have everyone chasing that, then you're able to benefit from that. If you're preying on someone's like self-worth and having them look a certain way in order to be accepted, then you're going to be able to make money off of them. And so I feel like there is a lot of that that goes into just who, like, how society works. But then the people who, because we're all part of the society, there are people who internalize that. And so when they're writing, they write their characters like that as well, because on some level they feel like that. And it's unfortunate because, like, I grew up in a predominantly white school district, and the thin girls were like also popular, but like when they had like the superlatives and all of that, I was also one of the most popular. Now, I have always been a big girl, like my entire life. And so I never had a, like, I never didn't feel like that. My family always told me I was beautiful. I always felt that. I knew I wasn't thin. I never felt like I needed to be thin. There were times when I, like, you know, wanted to like lose weight or whatever, but it was never to be thin, because that wasn't something that I ever felt like was necessary for me. Like, it wasn't medically necessary and it wasn't aesthetically necessary. So I know so many other women who also feel the same. And I just don't ever feel like that is reflected all the time. And it makes me, like, whenever it's shown in media where a woman is like in a larger body and very confident, it's almost seen as a joke. Like when you look at how on the Parkers, how Nikki was super pressed for a man who did not want her. Like, I know thin and big women who have experienced stuff like that, where they were pressed for somebody who wasn't giving them the time of day. Yeah. It is exclusive to a bigger woman. Yet, when it's funny, when it's the big girl that's on the receiving end of it, you know what I mean? And so I just wanted to showcase the part of real life where there are so many of us moving through this world knowing that, like, we are healthy, we're happy, we are beautiful, we have whole lives. Yeah. And our weight ain't stopping nothing but an outfit. And, like, Aaliyah and Nina, they both dress, okay? Jasmine, she does whatever she wears, she has to consult with them because she doesn't have the fashion. That's not, but, like, those two are very stylish.
Yeah.
Because of, like, just life. But I feel like there's just in media, for whatever reason, I feel like there's this narrative that if you are big, then you have to be the fat, funny friend or the sidekick or have, like, the mom vibe. It's rare to have, like, big, fat women who are, like, not just knowing that they're beautiful, but, like, living their lives as beautiful women and not just, like, oh, pretty for a fat girl, like, just knowing yeah. you are moving through it. And it just makes me sad because if media only shows that women in the background and as a sidekick, then people internalize that and then they feel like, oh, I can't be the main character. And that's what I wanted for these three books. Each of them, the fat woman is the main character and she is living her best life. And I feel like the dating scene is what it is. And so I wanted it for Aaliyah's book to reflect the worst of times. And then in Nina's book, because Nina has a different mindset than Aaliyah, mm-hmm. Nina gonna date in a way that is very specific to Nina. And so, but Aaliyah is more of like, I'm scared, I'm gonna see what's out there, not knowing, you know, hey, there's gonna be men out there who want you, but then when you don't want them, they gonna say, oh, you was fat anyway. I was fat when you hit me up. So now it's a problem because I'm saying, yeah. No, interesting. That's about you more than it is about me. And like, these are experiences that like are happening in real life. And so I wanted people to not feel alone in seeing that and being able to connect with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Hunter, you go first.
I'd say I definitely got the message. Like I could feel the message through the book. I remember you talked about like the fashions. Like I think every single time Aaliyah stepped out of the house, like someone had to say something, you know what I mean, about her yeah. outfit. I love the way you went into detail about what she was wearing, the shoes, what she was pairing with, the twist outs that she did in her hair, fluffing it out. Like I'm just like, okay, I think I know what the intention of all these different descriptions are for. So yeah, definitely it was such a joy also like just reading it. And also I want to like see this visually on, like, I want to see like her closet because she just yes. has a lot of good outfits and good pairing as well. I do have a question about predominantly just like the 30th birthday. So I know like Aaliyah's mission throughout the book was just, I need to find, you know, a date by and find love or find a date by my 30th birthday. Like, why did you choose this milestone as the driving force of her journey? You know what I mean? Like, why that 30th birthday?
So for a lot of people, they hear that at 30, you're supposed to have
all yep. these
things yeah.
in place. So I wanted that to be what her family was saying, because that's what a lot of people's families and then society too says, that, okay, by 30, you need to have already found the man and like be either had yeah. the baby or preparing to have the baby, have the house. Your life needs to be together, but whose version of together, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, so technically it wasn't initially Aaliyah's plan to have a man by her birthday. She was just ready to be in a relationship. She was ready to be out, like, because she wasn't even in the streets. Like, she had taken herself off the market. She was like, I'm tired of dating men where there's no future.
Yeah.
So I want to find my person. I don't want to date. I just want to find my person and live happily ever after. And so she was just in the mindset of like, I'm ready to find my person. And it had nothing to do with her birthday. She did want to have a man, like, it didn't have to be like her forever man, but she wanted to get her back blown out on her birthday. And I think that is a worthy enough reason. Like, yeah. she wanted to.
Me too.
Okay. Okay, so like, she knew how she wanted to celebrate and roll into this like new decade of life. So it wasn't that like a hard set thing until her family got involved, and her family started trying to nitpick, trying to play matchmaker and be in her business. And that's when she was like, oh, well, you know what? I already got somebody, so y'all can chill with all of that.
Yeah.
And so then it became a race to, okay, I need to go on these dates. But she would have just like, she may not have gotten on the app as willingly, but she was more open-minded because she was in that space already. But then having her family do what they did, it expedited things. And then it became, okay, yes, I need to have a man to back up the lie I just told. Yeah. I need to be able to have a man to support in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I guess in my next question, because her family was really drilling it. Like, we were there to like essentially remember the lives of our sister that we lost. And they were like, but where's your man though? Where is your man?
Yeah.
Where is your kid? And it's like, oh my God, on my sister's day? This is crazy. Exactly. And Uncle Al was going in. Like, at one point I was like, forget the boat. Like, nobody even wants the boat anymore. And I think at one point I was like mad at you. I was like, why are you triggering me as I'm trying to read this book? Like, this is, I'm like, oh my God, this is my family. This is kind of crazy. Like, I can't do it right now. I thought we were gonna have a nice, lovely time. But yeah, I guess with those moments with Uncle Al in particular, like, because you're saying your family, of course, was very, it seems they didn't have, maybe, I don't imagine any family's perfectly not fat phobic, but like, where did you draw that inspiration for such a character?
Uncle Al is society.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I wanted it to be, because it's, for some people, it is, part of it was seeing how, okay, so you know Saweetie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you know how she'll eat like really
anything.
Yeah.
People will be like, that's so cute. You're so funny. Lizzo will eat a vegan meal and underneath the post it'll be like, you're too fat to be eating. Like, what are you doing? And it's like, or you're promoting obesity. But it's like when Saweetie was eating a burger with like two donuts as the bread,
mm-hmm.
nobody was saying that it was like a problem, but you know what I mean? So Uncle Al was a culmination of the people in your family or in your life growing up who just like don't know what to say. I didn't have anyone in my family who treated me like Uncle Al, but I remember being at church one time and having a lady at church say, you know, oh, if you like was talking about me, not to me, but loud enough from here, where if I like lost 30 pounds, like I would have a cute little shape on me. And I just remember feeling so like bothered by that. And I went home and told my family and they were like, oh, it'll be handled. And like it, lady never said anything to me like again, but it was just like, there are so many people who will make that commentary about your body and they are like doing it from a place of love. Mm. But it's like, if you love me, then why don't you mind your business? Like, why are you, and you're not a doctor. For the people who are like, oh, I'm worried about your health, you don't know what my health is because you're not commenting on my health. You're not commenting this because of my health. You're doing it because it doesn't fit your idea of what I should look like. And so Uncle Al was a culmination of the people that we encounter in life who make comments like that, and they don't feel like they're doing anything wrong because they're coming from a place of love, or they're just being honest with you, and other negative things. And I wanted people who, even if they couldn't understand the experience of being fat in this society, if they were smaller and they've ever said anything like Uncle Al, I wanted them to see how they sounded and see what they, and so hopefully then they'd be like, oh, you know what, let me not, I thought I was being helpful with these comments, but now I'm seeing from a different perspective that that isn't helpful, that isn't the love that I'm saying I'm trying to show and give, that isn't that. Because I think it's different if Aaliyah was like, man, my blood pressure is so high and mm-hmm. like struggling right now, and then Uncle Al was like, well, you need to get your weight down, da, 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 da. That's a different dynamic. That wasn't the case, but he kept going. And I feel like that is a lot of how it can be sometimes when you are inundated with these negative things about you based on your body shape, having nothing to do with truly what your health is, just based on the body that you're in. And yeah. So I feel like when it's coming from, whether it's a friend or a family member or a coworker or just anyone in your life, strangers on the internet, like I wanted to show how it sounds mm-hmm. and does not come from that place of love that they claim it does.
Yeah. And the message is 100% clear through it, because Uncle Al also, like, I think he internalized a lot of things as well. And that's, he was basically projecting the whole time.
Yes.
Every time I saw him, I'd be like, oh God, here we go. Why is it going to be this time? I want to talk about the, overcoming trauma in the book, because I know both the main characters, Ahmad and Aaliyah, have dealt with loss and grief, and I guess like that's one of like their point of connection. So when you were building up, brainstorming your characters, what was the significance of adding those type of trauma into their lives to just develop your characters more?
Well, without any spoilers, what I'll say is that it was important. Everybody goes through stuff.
Yeah.
And everybody who goes through stuff don't necessarily process it the same way, go through it in the same way, and don't heal from it in the same way. So having, and like everyone's going to die, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And so like we've all experienced loss at some point. So having, that is something that could connect us all, that we've all lost someone at some point in time. And I think that for Aaliyah, her loss impacted her in ways that she felt, but also in ways that were thrust upon her that impacted her life, but shouldn't have. Mm-hmm. But impacted her life nonetheless. And Ahmad's situation impacted him in multiple ways. And when we're looking at how they communicated about the thing, the trauma that they've been through, they wouldn't necessarily have handled the same situations in the same way, but they are handling it. And they both went to therapy. And so I wanted to showcase like going to therapy and like the need for that. Yep. But then also just everybody goes through stuff. How you handle it, how you work to overcome it, and how it is work to overcome it. And it doesn't just all like tie itself in a bow nice and neatly if you're not doing the work. And I wanted the characters to be real. Like I want all of my characters to always feel real and to always have that element of humanity within them. And so not handling things perfectly is a part of how people like, we don't always know the right thing to say and do.
Right.
And so you handle it the best you can. And that's what they have done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So in their relationship though, wow, sorry. Was there a significance of them being in a bar constantly, or was it just like a plot driver? And when you were writing their characters, and was there any other like setting that you thought of that these two people could meet at multiple times?
So it was always going to be that, because when they met, it wasn't hearts and flowers.
Yeah, there's lots of banter.
It was definitely lots of banter, but like, they weren't feeling each other. And if she had if she had something smaller than $100 bill, she would have threw that money on the counter and left. So like, the only thing stopping her from like walking out was the fact that she needed her change back. And when she was explaining to him all of the fears she had for why not going on, like going on an app and meeting strange men, he was like, well, if that is one of the barriers, if you come here, then I'll have you back. And so you're not having to be on these dates and feel like you're in danger. You don't have anyone looking out for you, or someone to slip something in your drink or anything like that. So like, that was the whole reason why they were at the bar, or why she was at the bar every week on her dates. And so like, it wasn't, she was dating and she needed that constant. And he just had, like he said, he works every Friday, he'll be there. And that could be a way for her to be able to date, but also feel comfortable. Because Aaliyah, again, like who she is as a person, online dating has never been for her. It's never been a thing that she would do. And between online dating and just like, meeting so many men, that's just not her. She, you know, she was with, oh, what was his name? It wasn't Michael.
It was Matthew.
Matthew? Matthew with the 9 inches? Yes, we remember.
Yeah, we remember him. It was actually 8, and I remember.
Oh, my bad. I feel like Matthew got 9. Like, I don't know.
No, Matthew had 10.
What, he had 10?
Wait a minute. I have the book right in front of me. Hold on. I know it's like right in the
just
beginning.
That first line.
I couldn't remember his name, but I don't remember his inches.
There we go.
I remember the important details. And so, no, it was like, she was with Matthew and she was dating him. And that's when she was just like, this is not going to work. So let me get out of this. And then she was like, let me figure out what I want. And then she didn't date anyone. And so it just isn't the type to go out and like go online and find someone, go on a date, keep it moving. That's more Nina.
Yeah.
She is more of if I lock in with someone, I'm gonna date them and until it doesn't work out. Like, she wasn't necessarily looking for her forever, but she was very much a relationship kind of girly. And so going on Tinderfish dates, that was something that was just like, what is this? So she is out doing something that's out of her comfort zone and meeting at the bar where someone is gonna look out for her, be there for her, make sure she's good. It takes that element of danger out of it for her. So that's why she decided that that's what was gonna go for her dates. He just happened be there and be, you know, her protector and to keep her safe.
Yeah. And I love the progression of it too, because like you said, they didn't start off like on the same page, but I like the movement from friends to lovers. And I think like, since we already teased it out, I just want to say that when we were reading your book, because we're all grown here, I was completely blown away by how you write your spicy scenes. Like, I, from the get-go, chapter 21, just, it's just ingrained, like, it's in my head. I use Odilia's Audible. So sometimes I just, you know, on the bus, just see what's going on. What's going on in the basement of that bar? But to ask you honestly, what's your formula in like, what are the ingredients that you need to write a very good spicy scene? Because I feel like not just like with their interaction together, but even for herself, I feel like those were really well described and they were hefty pages. They were like 3-4 pages. I said, wow, this is good. You're very generous, by the way, very generous. So like, what would you consider?
10 minutes of audio. And I was like, 10 minutes here. Okay, yeah, chapter 24, 10 minutes here. Yeah. Even the opening with Matthew, I was like, ooh.
Blow away. Definitely one of the best I have read. So what are the ingredients you think are needed to make a really good spicy? Like what is your inspiration? Like, how do you do it?
Well, thank y'all so much. I love that. Thank you. So for me, I like to set the vibe, like in wherever I'm writing. I like for like the candles to be lit, music to be playing. But sometimes, like, I mean, if I'm writing at the library or if I'm like writing somewhere else, then I can't do all that. And it's honestly the characters themselves. And like, I see everything playing in my head like a movie. Mm-hmm. So I'm like seeing and feeling all things that I want people to read it and feel it in the same way I would want them to read and feel like their happiness, their pain, their joy. I want them to feel that lust and that like passion between them as well. And I think that's such an important component when you're talking about like people falling in love and like wanting each other, and like all of those things are so powerful. So I want it to come off the page like that too. Mm-hmm. And so I think that just building the anticipation for it. And sometimes because like when the book starts off with it, you can't really build anticipation for that. It just is like, welcome, this is what I'm about to do. But I feel like there was a reason for that. I will say that. But like, I think that like just making sure the characters, like, I want the reader to want it for the characters just as bad as the characters want it for each other. Right. So, like, that is what I think about when I'm writing. Like, I want to put the readers in a mental space where they want it just as bad as the characters want it.
Right, definitely. Because by the time we got to chapter 20, I'm just like, oh my God, it's happening. It's happening.
And with it being such a slow burn, like, I wanted to make sure that you felt like, okay, this is worth the wait. And so
definitely is, because there was a lot of tension between the two, and like, you know, and I think Aaliyah was going back and forth about like, what does this mean? Like, you know, sometimes
she was aggravating.
Odile was upset the whole time. She's just like, just please, just ask.
Yeah, I was like, you know what I mean? It's yours. Like, let's get to it. Like, come on now. Like, we don't have to pretend anymore. I'm already here. Like, it was getting a little bit too much. But that's why I'm actually shocked you're saying they didn't feel anything for each other in the beginning, because in my head, Ahmad always wanted her. Like, maybe she didn't see it, but like, he was like, yeah, I want you. Like, he was ignoring it.
They both thought the other was attractive. Like, they acknowledged that, like, because we're in her head, so we know that she was like, I mean, he looked good, but obviously he had a bad attitude, because why would he make fun of me for the situation?
Right.
And she was like in a mood, and like, rightly so, she was stood up. Like, there was reason for her to be in a mood, so she wasn't smiley and like really engaging with him. So he was like, oh, she had an attitude. So he noticed that she was attractive, but like, he felt like she had an attitude. Mm-hmm. And so between that, it wasn't a situation where they were like, oh, this is what's up. It was very much like, oh, you're attractive, but then when they were joking on one another and going back and forth, it was like, okay. And then he was like, she explained why she was looking for somebody. He told her about the app, and it was became a little more friendly. And then by the end of their first interaction, they were cool. But from at the very beginning, it wasn't like, I think this is my I have hurts in my eyes. It wasn't that. It was like, oh, she had a stank attitude. Why? Like, I'm not the one that stood you up. Why are you treating me like this?
And yeah.
She was just like, why would you make fun of me for, especially when he was like, I knew it. I knew you guys stood up because he was over there. And it's like, why would you say that? So as time went on, the feelings were, you know, they was looking at each other differently. Yeah. But in the very, very beginning, it was very much like, I mean, you cute, but don't talk reckless now. But then like when they dived in a little bit, it became a little more clear that they weren't, she didn't have a bad attitude and he wasn't mean, but they didn't know that about each other in the moment.
Mm-hmm. So then I guess that kind of leads into my second question of, because sometimes Ahmad would do this thing where I was like, you're pushing it now, where he kept being like, you're just not picking the right guys. You're just, and I was like, hold up, wait a minute. Have you been on a dating app before? Do you understand what is on there? And I feel like dating for men is like the lottery. Like you could literally walk down the street and see like 20 beautiful women. And you, in that time, you may have not even seen one gorgeous man. And on top of that, the women will actually be nice, full, multifaceted people. Yes. Meanwhile, you're dealing with like, you know, God bless them, but so it's just very interesting to be like, you're just not picking the right one. I'm like, you don't understand the like what's going on right now. And I was but at that one point we were like, is it problematic they keep saying it, or is it just he's just being Ahmad?
He was wrestling with the fact that like he didn't feel like anybody was good enough for her, and like him coming to the realization that of the reason why he didn't feel like anyone was good enough for her was because he felt like, you know,
he was the one good enough for her.
And so so a lot of that was tied into that. It's like, you know, oh, you deserve somebody who's gonna do this and this. Like, yes. Wow. Wait a minute. I'm talking about myself. I feel like he was, because again, he was going through his own thing too. And like they were friends. And so it wasn't immediately obvious to him the feeling what he was feeling. So, and he was like, you're not picking the right ones. Let me take you around some real men so you can see how it's supposed to be. But then it's like, you know, the scenes with him and his friends played out the way that it did, because like, who was the real, what was he trying to show her? You know what I mean? So when you are looking at like some of his decisions, recognize that he, the same way Aaliyah slowly was like looking at these options that she was going on a date with, but then also feeling like I'm enjoying more this connection that I have, he too was enjoying the connection that he was having too.
Mm-hmm. And as you were writing these two characters, is there a specific point where you knew that their story was going to definitely resonate with your readers?
I always hope for the best. I'll be honest. I always like, I write the story that I want to see. And then I always hope that it touches someone and someone gets stuff out of it. I'm like, everything I've ever written, I've always been hopeful that it is touching other people, that it is resonating with people, that they are, the lessons that I put in it, that they are picking up on it and they're taking them out. Like, I always want that. So it made me happy to, because this is my first traditionally published work. Mm-hmm. So it had more of a reach because, I mean, they have more, like they have more of an ability to reach out to people and to get it places than I do on my own. So it made me really happy to see people connect with it. But I feel like with anything, you get more people who like, are now reading it who've never read anything by me before. And there are people who like they'll pick up on stuff, and then other people who won't. Because I know there were people who felt very strongly about like it's a slow burn, and I've written slow burns, I've written fast burns, I write what the story calls for. You know what I mean? Like, I don't write like, okay, so I want to make sure I have a sex scene here and here. Like, I write what the characters in the story calls for. Mm-hmm. And I think that, and remind me to tell you why it starts the way it does. But okay. I feel like there are people who are like, I just feel like it was too much of a slow burn. And I feel like she should have pursued him, like she should have said something to him sooner. But that's not Aaliyah. And at what point, if you overhear someone say that they are happily married, and you are like, this person is looking out for you as being your friend, at what point you supposed to throw your drawers out? You know what I mean? And so, but that's so interesting to me, because I feel like there were people who were very much like, well, he keeps smiling on my face, and like, so I would have said something. That's not how I personally would roll, but like, to each his own. But I think that's just very interesting, because there are some people who are just like, well, I mean, he was acting like he was interested, so I would have said something. And yeah. That's not me, and that's not Aaliyah. Now, Nina, she would not actively pursue a married man, but like, she would have maybe entertained something a little, like, been like, what's up? But I feel like understanding that the character is who they are. Like, I build every character with their distinct personality. So it's always interesting when, like, I wanted to connect with people. I want people to get everything from it. But, you know, people like what they like, and they dislike what they dislike. And so,
yeah,
all I do is I write what the story is supposed to be and put it out in the world. And I love it. I love it so much. So any issue someone has is between them and the book. Ain't got nothing to do with me. That's between you and the book. Because me, I love it. I wrote it. I love it, and I love the way it is. And so,
yeah. I just imagine, like, you're sleeping comfortably at night, and there's someone there fighting Aaliyah.
Right.
The pages. Yeah, the pages.
I was in my bed under the dim light, like, girl, get to it, like, y'all are slow dancing to R&B, like, please, like, let's be serious right now.
No,
and they're like, oh my god, the dreams are about to hit. Like, she does not care.
No, I feel like one of my best friends was like, you know, it's taking it takes a long time for things to happen the way I wanted them to happen. And I was like, but it happened when it was supposed to. And she was just like, no, like, why? But like, that's not who Aaliyah is. Like, at what point would that have, knowing what you know about Aaliyah, at what point would it been, now, even if they were slow dancing the R&B, at what point should she have been like, oh, when he's like, I'm gonna walk you out, should she have been like, get in this car with me, let's see what's up?
All I'm trying to say is, when the man has his friend rubbing up on you in the concert, and all his good men that he tried to introduce you to are downstairs, and now we're staring at each other lustfully.
Yeah, something has to happen.
Like, girl, that is not your BFF. No. Not your friend. He doesn't want to be friends with you. That is not your friend. That's all I'm saying. So for Aaliyah to look me dead in my eye and be like, yeah, but I don't feel anything, and like, he's married. Friends. Where's his wife? You've never even seen the. If he was married, he has the worst wife. She never comes to the bar to support. She does not patronize the business. Like, I just feel like she wasn't putting context clues together. Like, I don't know. God bless her though. Love her down. Love her. That's my sister. But like, come on.
But you said dots weren't connecting for her quick enough. And I feel you. I feel you. I feel like because here's the thing, me, Danielle, I would have asked a lot more questions personally. That wasn't Aaliyah. Aaliyah, the information that she got was enough for her to feel comfortable with what the situation was. Mm-hmm. Me, I would have asked a lot of questions, especially when I was invited out. And yeah. So not at work, we're all chilling.
Yeah.
I would ask some questions. I would ask some friends questions. I would have got more information than I feel like the opportunity was not capitalized on. But that's me. I'm protective. I feel like Aaliyah was just like, I'm gonna take everyone at their word. Because you were taking these men at their word and then meeting up with them, and they were not living up to what their word was. And so she just believed it.
I also took them by their word. Like every single date, I was like, oh my God, this is going so great. always like the worst thing to have. I'm like, oh my God, how did I miss these clues? Like,
yeah.
Every single one started out great. I was like, okay, yeah. Uh-huh. What do you mean kids? Plural.
Oh, yeah. Just brought them out of the blue. Another one's wife shows up. Oh my God, that one was scary. I said, what's going on here?
Like, it was just too much. And then Mr. Yeah. Yapper, there were several yappers who were just
Mr. Yapper.
Yeah. No, just I don't I guess again, because unlike Ahmad, I live on the other side of the dating apps. I was like, yeah. I understand how you can be tricked into thinking, okay, this seems like a good candidate. Like I read their resume.
I like asked questions. Like
exactly.
People just blatantly lie to you.
Like, yeah,
exactly.
They lie. And then it's like, oh.
Like, this man didn't put, not only did he not put that he doesn't have any kids, he put that he didn't want any kids, therefore implying that he didn't have kids.
I know. I was trying to play it. Wow. Oh, I was the one who was talking about, my wife, he lied that his wife was dead or something.
That's crazy. That was the guy who was cheating.
Yeah. Like, that's a wild lie to tell. Like, why would you say that?
He killed his wife for a day.
Oh my God.
Again, based on true stories, based on true events, okay?
And I believe it. I believe men are capable of such wickedness. Like, that just doesn't mean it's right, though. Like, it was just crazy. But God bless them, I guess, but not really. But my sister went through a lot just to get to Ahmad, really and truly.
Yeah.
It was a battle. It was a struggle. But
yeah. She survived. She did. I hope we all survive.
Yes.
Like, still on like the idea of like dating. Is there one piece of dating advice that you have received or you've told someone that really sticks with you, resonates with you? Especially like, we know how modern dating is and how difficult it can be.
So what I lived by and what I will always tell people: be true to who you are. Pretending to be something to get someone, and not even just in relation, in like romantic relationships, but in general, like if you are not authentically yourself and then you get them, you're gonna have to keep this act up the whole time.
Yeah.
Be who you are and stand on what it is that you want. It's okay if you realize, okay, this person wants this and I want this, we're not compatible. Cool. Better to find that out up front. If there are things that are important to you, make sure you're talking about those things. Make sure you're being true to who you are, what it is you want, and navigate dating like with the idea of, because a lot of like what Nina was saying is how I feel about dating should be fun. You should be enjoying yourself. If you're not having a good time, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
So like if you, especially when you're just meeting people, pick things you want to do. And then that way, either it works out with that guy and you did something fun, or you got to experience a new restaurant, or you did a new thing, or you did something you wanted to do and that guy was there.
Yeah.
Either way, it works out for you, but you have to, it's whatever you make it. So make a point to make it fun.
Yeah.
Okay. With that being said, in terms of romance, do you have like, if you weren't writing romance, what would you be writing?
Mystery.
Really? Oh.
That is my favorite genre. Like, in every, like, I love romance because I love love. And I feel like in all of my stories, I like to put a little twist in there because I love a good mystery. Like, I grew up on Scream, and even though that's technically horror, but I remember being in the theater, and like, this was back when they used to like be able to drop us all off at the theater, and then we had to wait to get picked up, and being, I want to say I was in fifth grade watching Scream, so like, don't judge. But like, they allowed us in the theater, so really that's on, because I don't even know if my family knew what I went to see. That's neither here nor there. So Scream, and yes, it was horror, but what I did the whole time was try to figure out who the killer was. Like, it was like a whodunit mystery for me. Mm-hmm. And I've been in love with mysteries since then. So mystery would be what I would write, and hoping to write one day. Like, I plan to write a mystery at some point.
Yeah, perfect.
There are people that I've written that are like romantic mystery. Like, there's something going on, but there's the romance happening in the forefront. But so the Women of V series, it's a 3-part book. It's more like How to Get Away with Murder. Murder happens at the beginning of book one, and then you collect all the pieces throughout the books, and then by the end of book three, you figure out who murdered. But in each of the books, it's a standalone romance happening in those stories. And then Trouble's What You're In, that was something happened, and they were trying to blame it on, and she, like, the main character goes to a PWI, and one of those, it's an Ivy League, mm-hmm. and they try to put it on her because, you know, she was there on scholarship, whereas a lot of the other students are there because their legacy, and they made lots of donations. So they were trying to put it on her. So she had to try to figure out who was trying to set her up while she's also falling in love. And so those are the only like times. And I feel like it, I just love a mystery. A mystery.
Okay. Love it. Are there any Black authors who write mystery that you sort of get inspiration from? I'm going to take some notes as well.
Liz, I have not read a mystery in so long. Like, mm-hmm. I can't read and write at the same time. And I know some people swear by it and feel like it makes them stronger. But for me, I always want my voice to be the only voice shining through. And I do think that to some degree, when you're reading, it can kind of influence, like, you. But because I never really take a break, and I'm prayerfully moving into 2025, I'm going to start taking breaks, and then I'll be able to read more. But because I like finish one book and immediately start the next, I don't really have that time to read. So like, I buy books from friends and to support, mm-hmm. with the intention of one day being able to read, mm-hmm. but like, I have not, so I don't even have, so if you have any recommendations, because in 2025, I plan to build in like vacation, like actual like downtime for myself. I would love a list of like where to get the best mysteries.
Oh man.
I'm not a mystery fan, so I don't know, huh, if you have any mystery recommendations.
Listen, I'm sorry. I'm pretty sure if we do a quick Google search, a little TikTok, you can find a bunch of them. So I'll find some.
Okay. I hate mystery. I'm just saying.
It felt like that's what you said though. A little bit. It felt like
I just feel like mystery hasn't called me yet. And when mystery calls me, and there's one that I'm sure there's some that I would like, because I do enjoy a mystery movie. Like I really like the Knives Out series. You know, I do enjoy a whodunit. But I just have never read one where I've never read a whodunit and been like, when
I write mine, I'm gonna circle back.
I will read it. I will listen it.
She'll answer the call.
Answer the call. But until then, you know, it just might stay on the TBR for a little longer than anticipated. I don't know. But yeah. But in the same light, do you have any Black romance novels or authors that you think we should be checking out that maybe you've seen? We'd love to hear maybe something we don't normally hear. Like, I feel like everybody's reading Tia Williams or Candy Ryan.
Yeah.
Who are amazing.
Yes.
But there are so many, like, Alexandria House, Christina C. Jones, Nicole Falls, Bailey West, Tay Russ, Brittany Cherry, Shanora Williams. Oh my goodness. There's so many. I feel like Tati Richardson has one that's coming out that I just shared in my story like yesterday. D.L. White. There are really so many authors out here who are killing it.
Yeah.
Like, so many. And I feel like I wish that there, like, more and more people would, like, give indie a chance, because there are so many talented indie authors out here who are doing so, they're doing the work. Like, Sean, Aubrey Penn, like there's so many who are just writing great bodies of work, and they don't get the same energy as the ones that are like more widely known, but right. Like, and I feel like that is unfortunate, but like that is also why I like love spaces like this and opportunities like this that you are like giving me the opportunity to not only talk about my work, but talk about the work of other women, other authors who are out here doing the thing, because like there are like men writing romance who are also like killing it too. And so I just wish that there were more opportunities for indie romance, Black indie romance in particular, to get that worldwide recognition that it deserves.
Yeah.
Most definitely. I feel like we're working on our TBR for next year, books we want to read on the podcast. And we're like, first of all, there's a lot of you are releasing at the same time.
Yes. Same month. I'm like, what?
Like, oh my God. Like, it feels like you planned it and it's stressful for me. And on top of that, I'm like, yeah. There's so many indie art, like authors, as you said, like we'll be on TikTok. So the amount of like book suggestions in our little saved collection thing, I'm like, I think we narrowed it down to books that we would really consider, and it was like 42. And
yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. And we probably, unfortunately, will not hit every single one on this podcast, maybe in our own private time. But like, it's just there. Like you said, there's so many and they deserve the recognition for the bodies of work that they're putting out.
It's so many. And I just thought about like Dylan Allen too. Like there's so many that are out here killing it. And but like you said, like there's not enough time in the day. There's not. Like, especially if you're doing and recording it for a podcast, like there's no way to like necessarily hit everybody. But I think like, even if it's like you read one and then you're like, here are some books that people are saying that are like this, like even that is like, all right, I'm not going to read six books for this period, but here's the book we read, and people are saying that these books are similar. You know what I mean? Like, that would be a way to shout out, like, indie romance without feeling like, okay, I wouldn't be able to do anything if I read all the things that came out, especially with the quick succession.
Yeah. Yeah, just And I mean, I guess in that regard, in terms of releases for next year,
Yeah.
we're very, very excited for Nina's book because, as we've talked about, she just is that girl. So we're definitely going to be reading her again on the podcast. But how do you? No, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah,
We're excited.
we cannot wait.
How are you navigating, Nina's a player at the end of the day. So how are you going to retire my girl from the streets? Like, how are you navigating doing that?
You will have to tune in to find out, but I will say that Nina, there is no, Nina is cool with her roster being full, but she decided, I'm gonna chill out. If I got four good men and they all serve their purpose, then I'm fulfilled and I'm good. And so, like, it would take a remarkable man to be able to like replace four different men. So it's a journey. It's a journey. But I will say that it was a good time. The thing with traditional, it's like Nina's book has been done for a minute. It doesn't come out until June. And but in the indie space, I would have had that thing out the moment it got back from editing. Like, let's, and so that's the difference with like when, especially feeling like indies, like we put stuff out so quickly. It's a good thing, and we have that ability because, like, I would definitely have Nina's out right now if I could because it was such a good time. And if you don't like slow burn, you don't have to worry about that with Nina because, like, that's not Nina's style. Like, why is she
Nina's
gonna wait? Why is
straight
she gonna
to
wait to
it.
check the dick doing? Like, she, if there's four spots on her roster at this point, and if you come in to replace somebody, she got to know what the dick working with to even like see if you're a contender. So
Exactly.
it's not even, but like, sometimes people put it on you so good, like, you gotta wait a minute. Who this? And so I feel like Nina's journey is a good time. It is, I would say it's less shenanigans because with Aaliyah was navigating a space that was unfamiliar and uncomfortable for her. She knew that she was beautiful and she had a lot to offer, but she was still like, what is this? Why am I having to deal with this? Nina know the game. Okay, so Nina is 100% that girl, and she knows in the same way that Aaliyah like knew that she was beautiful, navigating. Not only does Nina know that, Nina also know that like she hold all the cards, and if you're not trying to get right, you can get left, and like I can replace you with another one. And I feel like that type of energy Aaliyah doesn't come with because that's not who Aaliyah is, but it's very much what Nina is. And so you're gonna see Nina in her element, doing her job, but then also like handling these men like only Nina can do. And so that's all I can say without spoiling the story. But like Nina enjoys her life and in her time, and she uses her time wisely.
Hey, we will get ready for that.
Absolutely. I have one last question, at least for me. I think Odile, you may have one or two more left. If you were approached to adapt Curvy Girl Summer or Nina's story into a movie, is that something that you'd consider? Have you thought
Absolutely.
about it? Absolutely. Okay. A
But
series, rather. I would say movie sometimes is a series. It
series.
has to be a series, not a movie.
Like, please,
Yeah.
100%. I have thought about it, but I also, every time I write anything, I am like seeing it in my head as a movie, as a, so like, so you could ask me about any of my books, and I'm like, yes, I can see it as a movie, absolutely. But with Curvy Girl Summer, I really like, I to the point where I was like, I can see these outfits that she's wearing, like her walking across the street from her luxury apartment and like skipping onto the sidewalk, feeling really good about like what she has on and like confident, and then walking in and having Ahmad say some slick shit to her. And it's like, not you trying to, but like that way that like she's like, I can't believe you said that, but yeah. It makes her forget that she's nervous about going on this date, because like now she's in a laughy, playful mood, and like I can see all of that, I can feel it. And so like I 100%, so if anybody, like I hope I can see it, I hope the powers that be making movies and series happen, they can see it too.
Yeah.
And make this do what it do.
Yep.
And in that, do you have like a fan casting of who you think should be Aaliyah and Ahmad? Like, if you had your pick of the crop, like nobody would say no to you. Everybody says yes. Who would you pick?
Okay, so when I think about the ladies, like in my head, it entertains like, oh, what's her name? Amber Riley, and then Raven Goodwin. Like, that's the energy that I like. That's if they couldn't say no, then for Ahmad, like sometimes for the men it's harder, because like I'll imagine them up here and then I'll be looking at like real men trying to like make, and it's like, I can't find that exact match. But then as an Eagles fan, Jalen Hurts came to mind, and I don't know if he can act, but that would be Ahmad.
Yeah.
And then someone said Aaron Pierre looks like Jalen Hurts' big brother, and I was like, you know what? Perhaps Aaron P. And he's an actor already, so maybe. But like when I would ask that, like when Curvy Girl Summer was just in the arc phase, Jalen was who came to mind. I was like, I guess Jalen would be the immediate thought. And so, you know.
Yeah.
The cover for us, we discussed it. It looks like if you've seen the remake of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, who plays Jeffrey on the remake, that is who the cover looks like.
Oh, now I have to Google it, because
now they the look alike.
But he's British though. But
I don't know what the actor's name is. I never get
I don't
it.
Know his name either.
Let me try to find out.
I feel like it's something with an A, but yeah, that's who he looks like to us. We could be wrong, but
and who do you play?
Jeffrey.
He plays Jeffrey, and I think his name is
Demi.
Let me try to find his name.
Yes, but not like in that picture. Yeah. Like his character on the show, he has like a little of a high top.
Not and he's like not. I would
say the picture that came up, but like not you instantly being like yes, but
no, because that picture was wrong.
I feel like his character presence in Bel-Air.
Yes, his character presence.
Just maybe Google his character.
Maybe watch an episode, you know? It's a great show.
Yeah.
One of the better reboots. But yeah, definitely watch. Yes, it's on Peacock.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to have to get Peacock and watch this, because I've heard great things about Bel-Air. But I was like, do I want to get Peacock for one show? But then but now it's like too many people telling me how good it is. So now I'm like, I might have to get Peacock for one show.
From what we have Peacock in Canada, but from what we know is on the Peacock there, it's pretty good. Like we watch Love Island USA and it's on there. And then if you're a Housewives fan, it's on there. So
I am a fan of what's his name? The people who won Love Island. And I only know them from TikTok. And
Serena and
Cordell.
Yes. I love them. And so I'm just like, oh, they're so cute. All right. And
they're
so,
cute. Yeah. amazing season of reality TV. Like, we were hooked. Like, we would watch separate. We don't live together anymore, unfortunately, but so we'd watch separately and be texting back and forth and sending voice notes. And it was just like, it was like we were in that little villa with them. Like, it was just so, it was so good. One of the best television I've watched. Definitely watch it if you can. That's where I would start for the U.S. Love Island.
I will 100%, especially if I write another reality TV romance. I'm going
Hold on a minute.
Give us the name right now, please.
We don't know this.
Absolutely. Like, I can pull off. So the one and After the One, they are based off of like The Bachelor. And then Insta Love the Reunion, that's based off of like Married at First Sight and Love is Blind. So if those two shows had a baby. So The One and After the One.
One After the One. Let me get my Goodreads up here.
Okay. All right. The One and After the One. So this. Okay. Oh.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Okay. And then Insta Love.
Okay.
Okay.
So The One and After the One came out in 2016. And then Insta Love came out last year in 2020.
Okay. Yeah. I see the one series duet.
Yeah. And so if there's no reading order because they're separate TV shows. But I would recommend reading The One and After the One and then reading Insta Love, because the One and After the One, the people who made that, they made Insta Love. So.
Okay. Yeah.
Like the creators of. And so there are like. There's a different vibe to each show, and this one was made for, they're looking for ratings. They, you know, they do what they do on those shows. They want, they've already had it in their mind who they want to win, and they're looking for good TV. Whereas in Insta Love, they are, part of their success is how truly care about making successful couples. So it's a whole different vibe. So like, they aren't just looking for good entertainment, they're looking at like how to make sustainable couples. And like, there's a lot of like dating lessons and life lessons in this one, where it's like the behind the scenes, like manipulation, the drama between the contestants, all of that in that one. So they're two different vibes, but like, so read them all.
Okay,
I'm down. It sounds like you made what I would imagine Nick and Vanessa Lachey should actually do with Love is Blind, if they really cared.
And that was the reason I was inspired, because I was like, oh, okay, no,
this is not. So I'm right.
But at the same time, like, people lie on these dating apps all the time. So who's to say that these contestants weren't lying to get on the show, and they felt the producers fell for it, just like we would fall for it in the streets, like sweating, you know? So I do think they should do a better job if they really cared about like putting real couples together, because I feel like outside of like, you know, Lauren and Cameron are the only people that I really feel like.
Listen,
that is the only reason God made this show. Everybody else.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Exactly. And like, yes, I like Tiffany and
Brett. Yeah.
Be successful. And I can't remember, because there was another couple when Cameron and Lauren. Happy for them. But like, when I think of Love is Blind, I think of Lauren and Cameron.
Absolutely.
And I was just thinking about how I forgot what season it was, but I was like, these people do not care. They just put anybody on. So then I was inspired. I was like, what would happen if people cared? And then I watched, I'd never seen Married at First Sight before. So I'd watched Married at First Sight and then put the combination of like what those two shows are supposed to be. And then Insta Love is what those shows would be if their main focus was trying to get people together, trying to actually have happy, healthy, lasting couples, what they would do. So that's how it's born.
I've seen only two seasons of Married at First Sight. The first one I watched was what made me go for the second. Then I was like, we've lost the plot. But the season in particular is when they were in New Orleans. And it was, oh my God, what are their names? Willie, they're this one black couple. And I follow them, which is even more embarrassing. But they were my Lauren and Cameron on that show. Like it was one of those things, it just felt like serendipity. Like, they met on the show. Because I'm guessing, like with every city, sometimes you bump into people. They'd bump into each other a day or two before they found out they were going to be on the show. Then went on the show and then ended up being matched together. And from like the very beginning, they were just like instant like connection. Just genuinely. Well, her name is Amani. I can't remember his name.
I watched that when I was doing recon for this. I watched that season because it was on Netflix at the time. So I watched that season before that or the season after. It was two seasons that they had on Netflix. And I watched the seasons. I love them. They had a couple of babies.
They have like two kids now. They're still together. He made me fall in love with the New Orleans accent. I was like, oh my God, somebody call me baby like that. But you know what? I do think sometimes the show works, but you know, with like divine intervention. But yes. To wrap up quickly, I do have two more questions since we've been on a tangent. But it is the holidays. So essentially, right now, what is your favorite Christmas song, Christmas movie, and Christmas book? Do you have a Christmas romance book? We just read one by a Nigerian author called A Very Giddy Christmas, and we loved it. So I guess any other Christmas books that people should be reading?
So I would have to say Spread Joy, A Christmas Eve Hot Holiday Hookup is a must read. It's a must read because I wrote it. So that's like pretty much where that is. But I feel like the last Christmas book I think I read was The Holly Dates by Brittany Cherry. Mm-hmm. And so that was really good. So like definitely write that down. Christmas movie. Okay, hold on, because I don't know the name of it. It comes out next week. Hold on. It is called, let's see, Christmas movie, The 5-Year Christmas Party.
5-Year Christmas Party.
And it comes out December 14th.
Okay. And
has Jordan Fisher in it. Love him. So talented. And Christmas song. It would have to be, oh my goodness. It would have to be Silent Night by The Temptations because like, it does not feel like Christmas to me until that song. And I don't get tired of it. Like, I feel like I don't love Christmas music until Christmas Day. Like, that's a
really
Christmas Day for me. Like, I like to, because I feel like when people start playing it November 1st, by the time Christmas comes, I'm tired, okay? So I love to, like, have a Christmas mix that takes me through Christmas Eve.
Right.
Through Christmas Day. That feels good. That feels like Christmas. When it starts, I mean, Halloween, I've got Halloween candy in the bowl, and, like, I'm hearing Christmas tunes. It just feels too much. And so I'm like, whoa, we have lost the plot. It's still fall. Like, what is happening? And so Silent Night by The Temptations, like, I can't sing, but when that comes on, I'm hitting notes. Not the right notes, but it's nonetheless.
Hitting notes. Fab.
Okay, thank you so much, Miss Danielle Allen, for gracing us with your presence.
And I'm sorry for the technical difficulties earlier. I hope that did it work? Did it at me leaving and coming back? Did it do?
Yeah,
it's been up and down, but it's going.
Yeah. But the audio was perfect the entire time. I think it's just like a video thing, because I could pick up everything you said. So
okay. Yeah. Was that freezing?
Yeah.
I was gonna do a cute pose in case like I froze.
We definitely saw that.
Because I feel like if it freezes and I'm mid sentence, it's gonna be like, and like, so I'd rather.
Well, then you should have told us before.
I just remembered one last thing. You have to tell us, and you can stop recording if you want to, but you want to tell us why you started the book.
Oh,
we normally
say bye, guys.
I was going to say how she started off the book.
Oh, okay. I started off like that for a couple of reasons. First, I knew it was going to be a slow burn because of who Aaliyah is. Okay. So that it wasn't going to, you won't go see sex for a while. So like, let's get some sex out the way. But also because I needed the reader to know that Aaliyah got options. If Aaliyah just wanted a man, she could have a. I wanted you as the reader to see that Aaliyah not only was fine, not only got play, but there were men who were like wanting to be with her.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want you to meet Aaliyah with her family, because then you would have thought that Aaliyah was everything her uncle was saying, because unfortunately we tend to believe the first thing that we see and how we meet people. And especially if you're in a bigger body, then if someone is saying all of these things, because you're programmed to think, okay, well, she probably has low self-esteem, she probably can get a man, why is she being resistant to this help? Like, I didn't even want that to be a thought in your head, and I wanted you to see that, like, this is how Leah really gets down. How her family is seeing her as someone who needs help finding a man, someone who, like, her uncle critiquing everything about her body. That's just what they were projecting onto her. That has nothing to do with her actual reality. Because I feel like so many of us go through the world getting play, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Getting hit on, getting catcalled, people in the DMs, okay? People trying to circle back, okay? Like, it's happening. But like, let society tell it, and it's like, she's big and lonely and sad. And it's like, that's not it. So I wanted you to see that if Aaliyah just wanted, a man, she could have a man. Mm-hmm. Like, if she just wanted sex, Matthew got 10 inches for her, okay? Like, happily ready to give her, okay? Happily ready to give it to her when she wants it. And but that's not where she is in her life. She made the decision that she wanted to find someone for herself. She wanted to be a forever person. So that's why it starts off in that way, so that you see that Aaliyah is desired. She is desirable and she is desired. And then you are then walking into that situation with her and her family, and you're seeing what they're projecting onto her, but that does not match her reality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense now. That makes sense. Granted, I didn't think otherwise, but I was like, I'm just here for the ride. Like,
we were here for the
ride. Like, I can watch you. And honestly, the way more Matthew, I'll give Matthew points here. I'm not too like talking through it. I realize I've never been talked through it before. It's like,
I feel like it's the only one.
No, well, now it's the only way. Like, and so, it was exquisite.
Yeah.
Okay, it was like fine dining.
Yeah, you're definitely queen of spice.
Thank you.
100%. You're welcome. And thank you so much for taking the time to just sitting here with us and just answering all our questions in so much detail. We can definitely tell that you're very passionate about who you write, how you write them. You're very sensitive towards your language as well. So thank you so much. And for anyone tuning in, we beg you to go pick up Daniel Allen's books, all of them. Okay. Buy them today. Get them today. And read, okay? It's good to read. And of course, follow us on Romantically Lit on Instagram, on TikTok, on YouTube, as well as always email us at romanticallylit@gmail.com. We love book recommendations. We love Tikiki. We love all that good stuff. And yeah, that is all we have for everyone today. So yeah. Anything else you want to add, Odilia?
Go read. Huh? Go read. You already bought Kirby Girl Summer. Just
might as well just go get the rest of them. You know what I mean?
Bye.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
No. Yeah, thank you so much.